Thank you, girls. We appreciate that. Again, we greet you in the name of Christ, and today is the third Sunday of Advent, and the theme today is we lit the pink candle of joy. I realize that maybe that's a tough subject, and just sitting over there during the fellowship meal yesterday, I'm reflecting, you know, going through lots of feelings and all, and knowing that tomorrow is the Sunday of joy. And that is the theme, and as difficult as it is, you know, I must try to offer joy tomorrow, real joy. And I'm thinking about how difficult that is maybe going to be, but maybe not so. So I want to tell you that I'm not here today to try to prove to myself that I am strong and I can find joy. I've confessed to you that I'm like you and I must turn to the Word of God. But there is joy in the Lord, and it is not always easy. So as difficult as it is, we do have some joy. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And sometimes life comes to us hard, but there is still joy in the Lord. And the thing about it is the joy of the Lord that we look to, you know, not our joy. The joy maybe that the world looks to is superficial. It is only lasting for a moment, and it's not lasting. It's not real joy. But the joy of this candle joy that we lit today is about the joy of the Lord, and that is something that cannot be taken from you, you know, even in difficult times. So we want to read a portion of the Christmas story and then use some more biblical references to the joy of the Lord and how we can claim it. It is yours. It is a gift that God has given you. And remind ourselves that we do have something to be joyful about. We really do. You know, we might think, well, how are we going to be joyful in Christmas? How can we do these things? Well, the Word of God shows us that we can claim joy even in hard times. We're going to read a few verses from the Gospel of Luke, the Christmas story, chapter 2 of Luke, verses 8 through 11, reading this morning from the Word of God. And the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy," not just joy, but great joy, "which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The angel says unto the shepherds here, who are obviously taken aback and frightened by this appearance of angels, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Great joy is what we're talking about when we light that pink candle. Not the joy of the world, but great joy, which only comes from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the great joy that you sent to all mankind in Bethlehem many years ago. And that is good news. That is good news for us to rejoice about. That is for us to claim joy about today. Lord, help us to share this story with others, that great joy, that real joy, that the joy of the Lord is available for all people. Thank you, dear Lord, for coming and bringing your salvation to us. Thank you, dear Lord, for your death, burial, and resurrection. The Lord, we ask you, come in the person of the Holy Spirit and minister unto us. Bless those who are here and those who are watching by Facebook, those who are listening to the radio. Heal the sick. Bless those who are broken. In Jesus' name we pray, and amen. So, from the very first, the announcement that the angels make to the common shepherds there, that the birth of Christ had already happened, there was the theme of this is a happy occasion. This is good news. You know, we're constantly bombarded with bad news today, and sometimes the bad news crowds out the good news, but we have good news to share with people today, and that is that Jesus Christ has come, and he's come for all men, and that is cause for great joy. People say, well, I don't find anything to be happy about. Read the Bible. Read the story about Christ and his coming. The angel said it is not just joy, not just something that you can be happy about tonight, but it is lasting, great joy. This is really, really good news. This is the best news that could be that we would ever hear, and that is that God has become a man and come down here to live among us and to give his life a ransom for many and to rise from the dead. And today he is at the right hand of the Father and he is coming back. When we took on these Advent Sundays, it is for God's people, similar to Lent, to get ready for Easter, but for us pointing toward the celebration of the first advent of Christ. We not only do that, but we also, in expectation, look for his second coming, the second advent, his second appearance. And he is coming. As we reflect about the coming of Christ, the birth, the humble birth in Bethlehem, it is a story that brings joy to our hearts, but we need to have joy all the time. Here's the thing. Many times as Christians in our faith in Christ, we say, well, we have something to look forward to, and that's true. The expectation, and I preach and believe that the best is yet to come, and that's something to look forward to. But it is not intended by your Heavenly Father that we spend our life in misery here. There is joy to be had here too. And sometimes we don't claim that. And sometimes we say, well, we are consigned to live a life of suffering and misery here, but all the joy is coming. There is joy coming. But I want you to know there is joy here. And I want to show you that. Sometimes it's hard to find, but we have to look for it. Turning to the Bible, even in the Old Testament scripture, there's this occasion in the book of Nehemiah, and you know the story of Nehemiah. He goes back with a calling, with a mission, set on a mission of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem and setting some things in order that were wanting. And at the end of that successful venture there, they call the people together for an assembly, and I mean an assembly like they had not had for many, many years. And as they worshiped there about all day long, the people stood and they read the Word of God and explained it to the people who hadn't heard it before and didn't understand it. And at the reading of the Word of God, you know, the people began to weep. You know, and there's times we need to weep, you know, when the Word of God exposes sin in our life. And certainly we need to have some weeping about it. It'll do that, have that effect, and that is needed. It's part of the Holy Spirit's work. But the people that day were weeping, and Nehemiah says to the people, you know, this is a good day. You know, let's end it good. You know, God has moved among his people, and we're here, we're experiencing this great event, and they had to tell the people, don't weep. Don't weep. This, remember this day as a happy occasion. You know, that as being away from the Word of God and a broken nation, and they had polluted their bloodline. They had a lot of issues, and they struggled trying to get back to doing the things they're supposed to have been doing. And it says here, and I'm going to read these two verses for you, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10. It says, you know, in verse 9, that the people were mourning and all. And it says, and he said unto them, go your way, eat fat, drink the sweet, send portions prepared, for this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be you sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, we need to be broken at times. There's cause for us to weep and lament. We see the brokenness of our world. You know, we need to mourn for that. We mourn for our loved ones, and especially those who are lost, and we need to do that. But we do not need to forget the joy of the Lord. There's a time and place for all things. And Nehemiah said, I want you to remember this day as a good occasion. Neither be you sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Reminding God's people that you must have some joy about you. That is your strength. That is something that you can rely upon when there's nothing to be joyful about. The joy that comes from the Lord is your strength, and we must maintain some of that. We must claim that, and it is your gift from God. He wants you to have a certain amount of joy in your life. It is not all just to come. There is some joy to be had here and now. That is the hope of the gospel, and we must share this good news with people, not as bad news. I never left to hear the gospel preached as anything other than good news, for it means good news, good tidings. The angel said, this is good tidings, this is good news. There's a lot of bad things out there, but listen, we really have some great news to share with people, and it should bring joy to our hearts when we share it. Yes, there is a time for us to mourn the brokenness of these things, but there is also a time for us to share there is a remedy for this brokenness, and it is the good news of Jesus. And when we share it, there should be a certain amount of good joy about us. Great joy, the angel said. Real joy that people can sense that, hey, they believe what they're saying. They're living the joy of the Lord. Nehemiah said a long time ago, the joy of the Lord is your strength. We need to have some joy about us. There is a story of the children of Israel when they first came into Babylon. Of course, they're brokenhearted. They believe the false prophets who said, we'll never fall. This city of Jerusalem will never be invaded. They ignored the prophet Jeremiah who said, those are false hopes. You know, be prepared to go into Babylon. So they were carried away into Babylon. And as they got into Babylon, Psalms 137 says, as they had this assembly by the riverside in Babylon, you know, they were famous for the Levites, especially in the temple singers. They had the great singing. You know, the singers of Asaph and all those, they had the stringed instruments, they had the choirs, the singing. There was hundreds of people in that choir, and the Babylonians had heard tell of the great singing. And the Bible says that the Babylonians there in captivity ask them, how about y'all perform one of the great numbers here? We'd like to hear some of that singing, you know. And the response is here, because they are broken. They have just been taken away captive and had to leave their homelands, and something happened that they thought could not happen. They didn't think it ever happened, but it did. And the worst of their nightmares has come true, and they are there, depressed, broken in spirit. They have no joy in their lives at the moment. And the Babylonians say, how about y'all playing us a tune? How about y'all sharing one of your numbers? And the response here is, how shall we? How can we do? How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And they couldn't really do it. You know, they didn't have any joy about them. They got in that predicament because they believed the false prophets, because they didn't believe the warnings that God had sent to them. So they had their joy taken away from them. They didn't have that to lean on. There are times when things come at us, and how do we find joy? I'm sitting over here yesterday. How am I going to go about this? Tomorrow is a Sunday of joy, and here I am not feeling a lot of joy. How do we do this? Well, it is doable. It is doable to find joy. The children of Israel here didn't really understand it, but they really, looking back, missed an opportunity to give a good witness of the God of Israel, didn't they? When we can find no joy at all in our lives, we are missing an opportunity. People are watching us. And I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not talking about trying to prove how strong we are. People can sense make-believe. Did you know that? Little children can tell when we're serious and when we're not. But I'm talking about being able to reach down and find that great joy, that real joy that only comes from the inner soul, that joy that comes from the Lord. You know, when we think about our circumstances, here we are by the rivers of Babylon, depressed. Who in the world can sing in this condition? You know, we can't sing the Lord's song here. But listen, there are times we have to sing the Lord's song in a strange land. I mean, when we're in a place that we're not used to, we have to sing the Lord's song, because the Lord's song must be sung. We must expose the world to some real joy. It is possible to sing the Lord's song even in a strange land. Job, and I thought about this scripture yesterday. We're sitting over here thinking about today and the events. How am I going to sing the Lord's song? And I'm sort of in a strange land. And then I get a text right before we early. Most people had left. Brother David and Gail had left, and I called him. I got a text from Blues Chapel Church that some very dear friends of ours, Miss Joe McCartney, had passed away. Joe served as treasurer of the church the 10 years that I was there. You know, they entertained us in their home. She was a great cook and, you know, great workers in the church. And, you know, I just felt so bad for Bill and the family. And here it is Christmas, and, you know, and so you think about Job, you know. And so I call Brother Dave and tell him. Then I get home and I call Brother Bill and share him, you know, our love toward them. And we wept with him. And we have to do that sometimes. And then there is Job. You know, he had this day that things just came at him in waves. You know, you lose your cattle, you lose your sheep, and then you lose your family, you know, and the people just coming in wave after wave after wave with nothing but bad news. And they come to him the last thing there and said, oh, by the way, a storm hit, your families was all together celebrating, a storm came and destroyed all of your children. A few years ago, down at Bradford at Blues Chapel, their family, kin to the McCartneys there, the Undertakers, there was a man named Larry Taylor, had a lot of funerals there, knew him. And that storms that went through down there, his youngest son and whole family was in a house very close to Bill and Joe's house, and the house was taken away and killed all of them, his, their whole family. You know, that was devastating. What does Job do? The Bible says, Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground, and worshiped. Wow. How and things happen to us with how can we worship? Well, if we can. Job, the Bible is full of stories about people who've had hard things to live with them, and what an example Job is here to us. He fell on the ground and he worshiped God. He said, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job could do that. We can do that. You know, when it's hard, we can find the great joy in the Lord. It is real. It is not based upon us and external circumstances, but it is based upon a hope that we have in Christ, something that our soul is anchored to that cannot be taken away from you, but we must claim it sometimes. We must remember what Nehemiah said, the joy, you want to be strong? Find the joy of the Lord. We must find the joy of the Lord. You know, we must let the candle of joy burn in our hearts. It must be great joy. It must not be based upon us and what we're going through, but it's based upon Him and what He has done for us. Back to the text of Luke chapter 2, something the angel said here. This is something else that we can take great joy in. Now you listen to this. The Word of God speaks to us personally. It is just not a writing that just speaking in general. But you got to take it personal. The gospel speaks to us personal. Listen to the gospel, the good news. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And here's something to rejoice about, which shall be to all people. Who is people? We're people, amen? I am people, and the Word of God said this shall be to all people. And that includes you. We have had people before we witnessed to and on. I've heard many stories of people say, well, I remember Brother Greer used to give a testimony about an elderly man that he witnessed to. He had no faith and he hadn't lived for the Lord, and he tried to witness to him. Maybe he was in a nursing home or something, I can't remember. But he said, that man, he let me witness the gospel to him, and he said, you know what? That just never would work for me. Well, the Bible says it will work, for there are people that sort of believe that. And guess what? As long as they believe that, they're right. It won't. But the Bible says here, this is God's word, which shall be to all people. Sometimes people say, well, that's not for me. That's what we got to tell people. And for anybody here today or listening, and somehow you felt, I'm excluded from that. I've had many before. And it's been amazing that I've witnessed to people maybe that come to church for years and all, their family have been saved. There was a boy at Blues Chapel one time. His family came. He came every Sunday. He had never been saved. And I'll witness to him and say, you know, you need to be saved. And he bared his soul to me one day, come to see me, drove to my house, and he said, well, there's just something that I just afraid I can't be saved. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, it says right here, which shall be to all people. What makes you any different from anyone else? And I witnessed to him, and I said, you go home, and you get out somewhere with the Lord, and you get this worked out. But I want you to know that according to the Word of God, there is no reason why you can't be saved. And I gave him scriptures. And he came back, I think it was the next Sunday I saw him at church, and he said, hey, I've been saved. You know, I have no idea what it was. And I have had people before come back later and tell you it was this or that. It's just be little things that amount to nothing. You know, it would amaze me, and yet they think this or that excludes me, and somehow I can't be saved. And the Bible says this great joy, it should bring great joy to us, that even me, that Jesus came even for me, and this is good news for me. If I'll hear it, this is good news for me. This is cause for joy to me if I will accept it and act upon it by faith. Shall be unto all people, not just those who come to church, not just those who were raised in church, but for all people. It is good news. I am people. Say that to yourself today. That is me. You are people. Peter says in 2 Peter over there, talking about the coming of the Lord, and we look forward with expectation as we celebrate his first coming for Christmas here, the first Advent. We're looking forward also to the second Advent. And Peter says the only reason you hadn't come yet is because he is long-suffering. Listen to this. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so how can people feel excluded when the Word of God says that? That God is waiting for those who are lost now to come to him. You know, he's not willing that any should perish. That is a cause for great joy. We wouldn't have joy. I had a man shared with me one time, and I loved him, but he got a little off base on some of his theology. And we was at a funeral home when he told me this, and he said, everybody can't be saved. He said, there's just certain people that can be saved. I said, I don't believe that. If I did, I'd quit preaching. I don't believe that's what the Bible preaches. I do not believe everybody will be saved, but I believe they can be, because the Bible says this is good news and cause for joy for all people, not just the select few, but it is for all people, and certainly a reason for us to have joy. And boy, we could come to church and not be happy and joyful if we had a gospel to preach that said, now there's only a select number of people who can be saved, and if you fit into that category, maybe you can be saved. But we have a gospel that says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's the words of Jesus. So it is cause for joy because all people can be saved. It's not always easy to find this joy. Life comes at us hard sometimes. You know, sometimes some people look at things and find joy, and sometimes some people look at things and find some sadness. Emotions are tricky sometimes, and we all have that part about our makeup. You know, we have the emotional part of us and all these things. And there was the occasion in ancient Israel, and I love the Old Testament. We can learn because they were people like passion as we are. You know, they had feelings. Now, one of the things they did not have, and this is cause for you to joy again with great joy, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Only in special instances were people empowered with the Holy Spirit under the Old Testament. They didn't have that. But other than that, they had pretty much basic feelings like we do. There is that occasion when they went back under Ezra and Zerubbabel to rebuild the temple before the building of the walls. And they were a little slow getting that done, but they finally got started. And they laid the foundation, and it was an achievement for them. And then they let it lay silent for a while. But anyhow, upon laying the foundation, they're going to have a celebration. You know, this is a step. It's the first thing you do in building something is lay the foundation. So they got that done, and they, you know, to encourage the people, let's celebrate this first part of the building of the temple. And they have that celebration there. And the Bible says that some of the people rejoiced and shouted, and the bystanders could hear the shouting of joy. And then there was also a group of people who were crying. The ones who were crying were the elders who had come out of Babylon, and they could remember Solomon's temple. And it was a hard thing for them to find joy in, because their hearts remembered what a grand temple Solomon's was, and you know, what we lost and what we squandered away, plus the feeling of probably it will never be what it was. And so the bystanders couldn't understand, is this a happy occasion or is it sad? And sometimes life is like that. They found it hard to find some joy because they remembered what it used to be. And sometimes we find it hard to rejoice and to find this great joy, but I say unto you, it is real. And if we have been born again, if we have been saved by the marvelous grace of God, we have something to joy about. Even when it's hard, we must find a way to sing the Lord's song, even in a strange land. And finally, closing, I want to share with you some more words of St. Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Praise God. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. That is cause to rejoice for the future. Amen. That is the joy we look forward to. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. Wherein is ye greatly rejoice. Hey, you got to rejoice. Though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter said. It's not always easy to find this joy and to rejoice, but you must. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. And Peter is talking about this joy of the Lord, that we can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. What's that mean? It means a profound, inexpressible. We can't tell you what it is. It's something you have in your heart. Profound, inexpressible, divinely glorious happiness that we can have through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the joy of the Lord, and it is yours if you are God's people. We're not meant to be happy all the time, but I'm going to tell you something. We're meant to be happy some of the time. Don't let Satan tell you that you are not to be joyful, that it's all bad. There's some hard times. There's some hard times that we go through doing the Lord's work, but I'm going to tell you there's some good times too. There's some good times. Do you know this great joy that we speak of today? There is reason and cause for this joy because Jesus came, and his coming is for all people. And we are people. We are people. Brother Danny, would you come as we pray? Father God, we thank you for this cause of great joy.